Welcome to the Military Child Education Coalition podcast, the show that highlights a wide range of challenges and triumphs that our military-connected kids experience. My name is Nikki Harrison, and I'll be your host today. We would like to say thank you for the support of the Randolph Spouses Club for this episode. I'm so excited to have joining me a really special guest. She was part of the Frances Hesselbein Student Leadership Program. I'd love for her to introduce herself and tell us a little bit about your life growing up in the military.
My name is Delaney Wright. I am a 16-year-old junior at Burke Burnett High School in Burke Burnett, Texas. I have grown up as a military child my entire life until very just recently. And so I'm used to the chaos that kind of surrounds military life in general. And so it's very interesting to me to go to schools that aren't military schools, because I've only gone to one school on base in my whole life. And all the other ones were just regular schools in military areas. And I feel like it's really interesting to just see the mesh between like what your normal students are and what your military students go through. And so it's just really cool to me.
Wonderful. And it is really different to go to schools that are on base or on a military installation versus the schools that are in civilian communities. So absolutely. I was wondering, have you had a lot of school changes? Any favorite locations that you've lived?
So I have been to 8 schools, and I went to 3 different middle schools in 3 years. And middle school is a very crucial time in kids' lives. So it was very crazy having to balance the already chaotic junior high environment with moving all the time and new people and new places. So it was just crazy to me, but I feel like it also helped shape me as a person, because I realized that everyone struggles in that time in their life, and that just because my struggles are different from other people doesn't really necessarily mean very much in the grand scheme of like everyone is going through things at that time. So it kind of helped me cope just a little bit, knowing that everybody's going through changes, not just me, whether that be the elementary to middle school transition or the middle school to high school transition. Like, everybody's moving around at that time. So I feel like that kind of made it feel just a little bit more normal to me. And my favorite place I've lived is probably North Carolina, which 2 of those 3 middle schools were in North Carolina. And I just love like the beachy type feel and the coastal weather. Texas is very hot and humid, and I would take ocean weather anytime over this.
So I'm sitting here and I am absolutely shaking my head, because I too love the beach. I would take the beach and the ocean over the hot and kind of dry area that I live in as well. And I was also thinking about when you were talking about all the schools that you went to, I've said it, and I feel like so many of our podcasts, that I was a military child. And I too went to 3 different middle schools, so I can completely relate to you on that one. So it is very interesting moving around and having to meet new people. I know you've been a member of S2S for more than 5 years, our student-to-student program, and you've said that you want to be the rock in a new place for students. So I'd love to know, when and how did you first encounter S2S? And do you remember what a difference that was compared to when you didn't have S2S in those moves before?
So I feel like this is a very interesting question for me personally, because I have gone directly from schools with S2S to schools without S2S. And even if I myself didn't have like time while I was there to try to kickstart it, I feel like you could definitely find a difference there. And so my first time ever with S2S was when I was in middle school, which when I was in North Carolina, middle school started in 5th grade. I was there in 5th grade and 6th grade at this one school, and we didn't have an S2S club. But I was also a very outgoing kind of military kid who really wanted to just get involved. And so our school counselor actually started a junior S2S group, and she asked if I wanted to be a part of it. And so we had 4 people in our S2S club, and trying to grow that was very difficult, and it didn't really work very well. But our four people sure were pretty strong. We went to all the different meets, all the different conferences. We talked with important people and like had discussions and we helped the new kids and stuff. So we had four, but it worked really well. Then when I moved here, Burke Burnett actually has a really strong S2S program. And so I had never experienced high school S2S because that was only middle school S2S. And this was kind of just the same exact idea on a different scale. And so it just took what I already knew and like expanded upon it. So that was really cool to me. It was very like surprising because you're so used to just having to use yourself to adjust and like using your past experiences to figure out how to fit in. And when you get to a new school and the first person you meet is meeting you, not you meeting them, it's a whole different idea because you're used to having to be the one to initiate conversations because you're the new one when everyone else has already been there. But when there's people there expecting you, and like right now we plan like parties over the summer and stuff for kids who move in. So like when there's multiple people coming to you, it's a whole different ballgame and it makes you so much more comfortable because you realize that, oh, someone does actually care. Like people realize that this isn't all easy and cake, like a piece of cake, and it's just so much deeper than that. And so I feel like that's a really cool thing that most people don't think about with S2S is that it's like a little flip for a change. Like the military kids get a breath of fresh air that somebody is trying to help them instead of them trying to help everyone else.
I love that perspective that you have about meeting different people and it being different when you're not the new person initiating the conversations. I was thinking your group of four was small but mighty in what you all were doing in your S2S. So I think that's really fun that you had those different experiences and that you've been able to see a school with an S2S versus a school without an S2S and kind of look at the differences between the two. You know, I know last year your school's S2S team won the High School Team of the Year award, which is amazing. And congratulations again. I'd love to know, was it a surprise? And maybe some tips for other teams that are thinking about applying.
For us, we had been trying for a couple of years and we had gotten really close those past couple of years. Like we had gotten to like the finalist stages and we hadn't quite pushed past that final mark. But I feel like when we finally did get it, it was kind of a surprise in the way of like we'd been trying for so long and like it finally paid off. But like we felt that everything we were doing finally paid off and that everything kind of just like fell into place. So it was a really cool experience for something that you've been working towards for so long to finally like happen. And so I just felt like that was really, really cool for us. And I would say if there's other groups out there trying to go for it, I would say don't falter for what you are trying to do and try to believe in order to like fit the mold that you think is acceptable. Each group has its unique perspectives and abilities, which is a big thing I saw when I was at the Francis Hesselbein program, because I realized that every school takes the same program and modifies it to fit perfectly within like their space and their community. And so I would say keep the unique abilities and skills and perspectives you have within your group and don't try to change yourself. Just focus on what your group does best and highlight that while trying to go for these big.
I like your advice. I know in our S2S trainings, we say that very thing. Take this training and this program and implement it to make it work for your school, your population, and kind of what works in your community. And so I like that you're highlighting, keep it unique, keep it different. Those are really good things. So are you all going to go for it again?
I honestly don't know. We haven't quite had that discussion yet. Right now, we're focusing on taking all the information I brought back from Francis Hesselbein and kind of implementing it and having all that go through, as well as putting our students' academics first. It's getting toward the end of the year with state testing and stuff. And so we haven't really had a huge discussion over it, but we're having our monthly meeting next week. So that'll probably be something we'll discuss. So I'm excited to think about it.
Well, I know we would love to see you all apply again. So I think that would be really exciting. And so you can say at the meeting that we talked about it, like, we got asked, are we going to apply again? You can kind of bring that up. So I was going through and looking at all of the things that you're active in regards to activities, and I saw that you are a softball player, a pitcher specifically. And we know with our highly mobile military families that sports is a great way for our kids to be connected when they move. I'd love for you to talk about, you know, how long have you been playing softball? Is it something that you're considering in college, and what you really love about it?
So I've been playing softball since I was about 4 years old, which is about 12, 13 years-ish, a bigger part of my life. And I just find that it's very much like a rock, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, because you're moving. I mean, you always meet people, new places, and have nothing with consistency in your life. And sports and activities like music and things like that can be a constant in a kid's life as they're moving around, because sports teams are pretty common. And so that's something you can find when you have nothing else to lean back on. I also love softball as a sport because of the team camaraderie mixed with like pitching and the single-minded, like individualized aspect of it. Because with pitching, you have to rely on your own skills in order for the rest of the team to be successful. But then you can like go to the dugout, hit, be part of the team, and just put those two worlds to collide and put them together. So I just feel like that's been really cool for me. I've also noticed that with people who play sports, they tend to make social connections a lot faster because of those sports. So I've always thought about clubs and stuff when kids get here, like RS2S club. One big thing is when they get here, it's what sports do you do? What activities do you like? Things like that. And then we try to match them with a tour guide who is interested in their same hobbies to try to get them like kickstarted there. On the college question, I'd love to play softball in college, but I also need to focus on my career, my future job, because that is a big thing. And like after college, softball's not going to be as prominent, and you're going to have to focus more on that career and focus more on the job in the future. So you obviously don't want to jump ahead in life and like just skip over your childhood and your college years, but you've got to also keep in mind that you can't throw everything you have to sports and then just forget about the whole point of college to begin with.
So many great points that you made. And I wanted to highlight the point that you made about social connections being made faster when you have something that you're interested in, whether it's an extracurricular activity or it's a sport. And I think that's so true. I know for our kids, that's one of the first things that we do when we PCS is we figure out where's the leagues, where's the teams and things like that. So I love that you've had softball. And with college, I think that's great. I think if you can focus on the career and your degree, and maybe you go to a college that'll have a intramural softball team, so you can still continue to play, if not competitively. So I think that'd be a lot of fun. I know not long ago you attended the Francis Hesselbein Student Leadership Program at the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. And I'd love for you to talk with our listeners about that experience, because I feel like we sometimes don't know much about the program and what the students experience. So how did you enjoy your week? And I'd love to know maybe what your favorite part was.
The Francis Hesselbein program is a program where there's 10 students from all over the country, and some of the programs have had students from out of the country as well. And you take students who have S2S groups that are strong in their school, and you bring these students together and help with leadership skills, team building ideas, things like that. So I really enjoyed the week. I loved it a lot, and I felt like it was a really interesting perspective for me, because I have never met with another S2S group like with mine. I've moved a couple times and like experienced different S2S groups, but I've never actually just like, oh, the school's around here, let's meet up and talk about our groups and whatever. I've never had that kind of experience. So being able to kind of like collaborate with other people trying to accomplish the same goals was really, really interesting to me, because I love seeing different takes on the same problem. because we're all faced with the same issue of how to make these kids feel welcome, how to make military students have an easier transition between the life they know to the life they're living now. And so I feel like S2FS has just been a really constant part in my life. So having this opportunity to go to Francis Hasselbein has just been really cool to see those different perspectives. And my favorite part about the week was probably the people. And I know that's a very like cliche answer, but we talked about this a lot between our group while we were there, that we got along so well. We were spending 4 days with 10 people we'd never met before. And we didn't have a single argument. We didn't get in a single fight over anything. Like, we just were all like friends. And it's crazy because I feel like I made stronger connections with those people in the 4 days I was with them than with some people I've been with a lifetime. It's insane to think about. You just met these people literally 48 hours ago. And now, 2 days later, you're like best friends. But it was just a really interesting perspective take on like not only joining our S2S groups, but like joining friendships too.
Yeah. And I could see that, like having some individuals who are like-minded, you all have similar interests and goals, and you kind of just get together. Probably are a lot of extroverts, I'm just going to guess. And so you could just connect and really become friends. I love that you had that experience. And just kind of wondering, are you still in touch with any of those people that you went through that week with?
Yes. Actually, we made a group chat with just us, because while we were there, we had a group chat with us and like all the sponsors we were there with. But we made a group chat with just the students, and we've been texting each other like life updates. One kid's at ROTC and he made an upper rank, and so he was telling us all about it. Then it was a couple people's birthdays, and we were like telling them happy birthday and talking about what they did for their birthdays. And then we have a couple kids who aren't from America, and so we were talking kind of about like their lives and stuff like that. So we've definitely kept in touch, and we've added each other on like social medias and things like that. So that's kind of a funny way to keep up with each other's lives without like directly like asking. It's just kind of cool because, once again, we've known each other for a very short time, and we're still interested in each other's lives. We're still interested in each other as a whole. So it's just really cool.
The beauty of technology connecting you, keeping you together. And I love that you're all in a group chat and you're kind of watching what each other are doing and giving each other acknowledgement when you're doing really great things. And so I think that's amazing. So I know you talked about the great experience that you had, and you were able to meet with other students from other S2Ss, and you had that opportunity to really collaborate. I'd love to know, what did you bring back from that week that has benefited your program, and have you made any changes?
So yes, we have implemented two things so far, and we plan to do more in the future, and those are leadership strategies and fundraising opportunities. S2S is a very fundraiser-bound kind of club, and so we have fundraisers we do every year, but we've also added on since Francis Hasselbein, and we have started doing things like dodgeball tournaments, which I felt was really interesting because we had never thought about the athletic aspect of things. We'd always just done like community-driven fundraisers. So it was really cool to me to like let the student body help be a part in the fundraiser. And then on the leadership aspect of it, before I went to Francis Hasselbein, we had committees, but we didn't really have like leaders of those committees. So each committee was in charge of like a different aspect of our club. So there were a couple people on each committee that were in charge of like fundraising and budget and planning and events and stuff like that. But we never really had a way to put them together. And so when I was at Francis Hasselbein, we discussed an idea known as core leaders. And the way we took that was to put a leader in charge of each committee. And we have a meeting about once a week, once every 2 weeks, depending when we can go. And the leader of each committee gets together to kind of help discuss everything that's going on. Because we had these committees before, but we never really like collaborated from there. So if one committee didn't talk to the other committee, we never found out everything that was going on. So we kind of felt disconnected. So after bringing that idea back, we've already seen really good things happen, because before that, we kind of had a few issues with like planning things, them actually happening. there'd be a disconnect somewhere along the way and things would just never get done. So we've already had a couple events planned since I came back, and they've been a lot smoother than they were before. So I feel like it's really cool.
I love the two things that you've highlighted, fundraising and thinking outside of the box, so to speak, about some of the things that you can do to help fundraise, and that leadership aspect of having a core leadership model. And it's just kind of helped your club run a little bit smoother because you have someone that's kind of taking the role of the leader and pushing things along and making sure everyone stays on task with what they're needing to do. So I think those are two great takeaways from your week at Frances Hesselbein. Do you recommend other students applying to go in the future?
I would definitely recommend it. It's a very eye-opening opportunity because it's out there. Like, you don't know very much about it, like, details-wise, other than, like, the main model of it until you actually get deeper into the process. But I feel like that is almost what ignited me to, like, want to go for it because of the unknown. I'm used to facing unknown in my life. That could have been part of it. But I just feel like it'd be really interesting to me to kind of just see where it goes. And so that's kind of what started my process. Like, I was just like, what's the worst that could happen? Might as well go for it. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But if it does, it could be some opportunity that I wouldn't have never thought about before. I would definitely say go for it, even if you're not confident, even if you're an introvert, extrovert, whatever, because we did have a lot of extroverts in my group at Frances Hesselbein. But we also had a few token shy kids who were basically like grounding us, keeping us together, keeping things going smooth. And so I just feel like it was a really cool opportunity for everybody to kind of collaborate. Obviously, we had some similar qualities, which drove us to be there to begin with, because we all wanted to better our groups and better our clubs. But we also all had different similarities that could mesh with each other. They were very different from each other, but they had something the same that made them connect. So, like, we could have conversations with a person we deemed very different from us and still find something to connect about.
Thank you for mentioning those introverts, because not everyone is really extroverted. The older I get, I'm starting to tell people I'm an extroverted introvert. I don't know if that's a real thing, but that's what I'm kind of putting myself in that category. So I, again, am so glad you had such a great experience. We hear so many great things about the program, about the week, and it's just really great that you had that time and really exciting for that. So I know you mentioned a little bit earlier that your father is recently retired this last fall after, I think, 22 years of service. It's a whole new world for you. And I just kind of like to know what your experience has been with your dad kind of moving into retirement. Did it involve another move, or were you able to set permanent roots where you're at right now?
So yes, my dad was in the Air Force for 22 years. And so I had grown up my entire life, and my siblings have as well, in the exact same mentality, because everywhere we've been has been completely different. But we were in that same move all the time, meet new people mindset. And so he has decided to retire here where we were when he was in last. And he actually has the same job he was doing, just civilian. He really apparently was not ready for that change either, because he's doing the exact same thing he's been doing for 22 years. But it's just really interesting, because seeing that switch, you wouldn't think it's like that much of a difference staying in the same place, staying with the same people. But you're moving out of base housing. You are losing benefits and gaining some, depending on the way you look at it. And it's just completely different, because you have, like, freedom to do what you want with your life and not have to worry about, where's the military going to take my family? Where's the military going to take me? You can just do what you want and not have to worry about unexpected unknowns just popping up like whack-a-mole all of a sudden, because you just see military kids never have standard in their life. It's always something unexpected is going to come flying their way. But when you make that switch, you're living your same life, but now all of a sudden, you don't have to worry about the crazy stuff. It's just here. So, like, you can just live your life, and it's almost peaceful, because you can just go with the flow and not have to worry about everything that's going to wall up and be crazy all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I can relate because I was just thinking my husband recently retired from the Marine Corps, and so we have two kids. I have a senior now that's he's getting ready to graduate and an eighth grader, and we've had similar conversations about we're kind of in our I've been saying like temporary permanent place. I don't know if I want to say permanent just yet because I'm like you used to moving, but it is a little bit of a breath of fresh air for us and for them as well. And I just thought about this when you were talking, and something that maybe I should ask my own kids. Do you still consider yourself a military kid? Like, do you still feel like you're that military child, even though your dad's not active duty anymore?
So I refer to myself as like military connected because I'm not necessarily a military kid anymore because I'm like a former military kid. And so I just like military connected a little bit better because it kind of gives the idea that like I understand what people are going through and I've been through it myself without being like in your face about it. And so I just feel like yes and no in some ways because that's a part of me that's never going to leave me. I lived 16 years of it. But there's also many more years of my life ahead of me. It's kind of like two different personas. We have military kid Delaney, and then we have the new found personality Delaney, who is just here and living her best life. So it's a very different balance, but it's really cool.
Very cool. And we definitely say military connected as well, because that's still a part of who you are. Even though your dad is now retired, you're still connected. I love that you mentioned that. And I was also thinking, since we're in a similar place, that it's a little bit bittersweet too, I feel like, because you know you're not moving. I was just thinking this year, I was like, man, we've been here almost 2 years where we're at. And this is usually about the time that I start to mentally prepare to transition. I'm sure you've kind of done something similar. Your parents have probably said, oh, we're going to be moving next year. Let's start preparing. And so you don't do that anymore. It's a little bit of a surreal experience, I feel like. But I'm excited for you. I'm excited for your family. And retirement is a lot of fun. So, really good. Okay, senior year. You're towards the end of your junior year now. You're almost there. You're almost to the senior year, right? I'd love to know, do you have any fun plans this summer before your senior year? And if you have an idea of what you're going to be doing after graduation, I know that's a little bit of ways away, but just curious.
So over the summer, I'm going to go to a couple of concerts with my sister, and she's actually going to be a senior in college. So it's kind of like very different but similar situation. And so we're going to a couple concerts together over the summer while she's back from college. And other than that, I'm really just flying by the seat of my pants, seeing where it goes. I really don't know. Really, I'm hoping to be a lawyer, so I don't really have any set colleges in mind yet. Which is really weird because a lot of people right now know exactly where they want to go and exactly what they want to do. Not me. I have absolutely no clue what I want to do. Like, I'm still between a couple of things. Law seems to be the thing that's like drawing my attention right now, but that could change as easily as anything else could. I'm coming to the point where I've got to start making decisions of where I want to try to apply to and have like general targets, but I haven't really made any set decisions yet.
Well, that is okay. And even if you decide you may want to pursue something, you can always change it. That's the beauty, I feel like, of college is you get there and you can have some different interests, take some classes, and maybe you end up embarking on something you never thought you would want to do. So fun plans this summer with your sister. I love the concerts. And just really excited for you and your future. And you are an amazing military connected child, or I should say, amazing military connected student. Just so thankful that you were able to chat with me today and tell our listeners a little bit about your story.
I'm very grateful for the opportunity because I feel like as much as people are surrounded by military kids or military connected kids, they may not fully understand. So I'm all about like raising awareness, making people know about things, just because if you better understand the people around you, everybody's closer to being more successful. Spreading awareness and just making things well known can go a long way.
I'd like to thank Delaney for her time today, as I really enjoyed our conversation. And we're excited to feature more Military Connected Kids in our April podcasts for Month of the Military Child. Thanks for listening to the MSEC podcast, the official podcast of the Military Child Education Coalition. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like, share, subscribe, and give today's show a 5-star rating. And don't forget to leave us a comment on topics you'd like to hear more about. We'd like to give a special thanks again to the Randolph Spouses Club for supporting this episode and Consensus Media for audio mixing. I'm Nikki Harrison, and until next time, in a world where you can be anything, be kind.